I'll have to just say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt the Lord together. But I just can't help it because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I shall rejoice. I just got to rejoice and be glad in it because the one triune God has truly been good to me. He has blessed me in every way, blessed me from Sunday through Saturday, and then got up early this morning with new mercies again, Monty. He blessed me again. So, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I certainly want to exalt his name together. Today is a great day because we have the opportunity once again to study out of the book of Numbers. Oh, did y'all think we were going to leave the book? Well, today we're going to look at the 16th chapter, and I'm going to share with you part one of a lesson today, because we will see its conclusion on next week. Good to see all of you. Continue to pray for each other. We need prayer. We showed you last week the anatomy of intercessory prayer and what prayer can do and what you should do as you intercede on behalf of others. It's all under the auspices, though, of the unit called Taking God Seriously. Taking God Seriously. Today, we're going to look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. Our authors have entitled our lesson today, Korah's Rebellion. Korah's Rebellion. God is too serious for us not to take him serious. And there, in so many ways up to this point, we've seen how the children of Israel have seemingly not taken God seriously. And, you know, both as individuals and then as a community, as a nation. And today, we're going to see it again. And I know that there are some that would say, you know, hey, I take God serious. You know, can we get up out of this Numbers thing? But, you know, God only deals with man through revelation and not reason. Many of us, I think that we should reason our way out of situations, that if we don't believe something, if we can't inductively discern, come up through deduction and discern what it is that God wants us to do, we just don't accept it. Well, folk, I'm here to tell you that's out and out rebellion, because that's not what God has for you. That's not what God has called each and every one of us to do. Second thesis, everyone on this call who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior has been called. Brother Davis, just for those that didn't get it, I'm going to say it again. Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ on this call, under the sound of my voice this day, if you've been called by, if you've been saved, if you've accepted Christ, you have been called. And very specifically, no doubt about it, both generally and specifically, you've been called. That is serious. God is a serious God, and he is to be taken seriously. But today we're going to see an example of someone who has been called to a specific office or position, who has been called to a very important position in the life, in the community. Sister Ramsey, they've been called to a specific duty. They are in the ministry. They're in the congregation. They're in the family of God's chosen people. But yet, Deacon Newsom, they don't take God serious. And let me show you. Let me show you. Brother Mo, and you know, Sister Harriet, you got to go to your Bible. Brother Mo, would you read verses 1-2 for us?
Number 16, 1 and 2. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown.
You see what I'm saying? Here we have a brother named Korah, Dathan and Abiram. They are influential people in the congregation, in the life of Israel. This brother Korah is a Levite. Dathan and Abiram are leaders. They are leaders. They are influential rulers in the nation of Israel, in the, specifically the tabernacle. They have been called to ministry under the leadership of the high priest called Aaron and the nation's spiritual and constitutional leader, Moses. But yet, there is a problem. Because these men, they don't take God serious. They, and the reason I know, is that you can't just sin with impunity and take God seriously. And I know you might ask, well, what sin did they commit? These brothers took up action. They not only talked, they took up action, according to verse 1, to deny Moses' authority as God's leader. And they intruded into the office of priesthood. That's a sin, because they had not been called to do that. They had not been called to be the national leader. They had not been called to be priests. They'd been the high priest. They'd been called to be priests, Levites. They were Levites. They were called. Bogan, did you hear me? They were called. But they were not called to the high priesthood. Now, let me put this in the proper context here of where I want to go today. Because I believe much of the problem in churches today is because the church, men and women, boys and girls, don't take God seriously. They deny the call that God has given them, and they try to usurp the authority of those who have been called in other positions. And the methods, they may be similar or diverse, but they all share the same root: jealousy. Y'all better hear me this morning. Hear me, because they have no reason to do what Brother Mo has just read that they done. Because first of all, they were family. Korah was the first cousin of Moses and Aaron. But see, a lot of times people think that because they are a little bit older than you, maybe they should be the one that's leading the ministry. Brother Monty, maybe because we're the same age. Why can't I be the high priest? I'm a priest, but I'm not the high priest. I'm a preacher, but I'm not the pastor. Oh, I'm coming at you today. Because what happens is when jealousy enters in, it is always a motive for bringing about a problem in the church. And whenever there's a problem in the church, whenever there's a problem in the congregation, men and women, boys and girls aren't taking God seriously. You've been called. Your call is general and your call is specific. But Minister Brown, I want to stay right there on the call just for a moment. And I want you to run over to Hebrews 5. Run over to Hebrews 5:4. Because you're the same age, and just because you may be of the same rank, and just because you have a similar calling, does not mean that you can usurp God's authority. You take God so carelessly that you try to usurp his authority and replace the men and women that he has called to those duties. Oh, y'all know him. Okay. Sister Harriet, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Could you read Hebrews 5:4? Yeah.
And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
Nobody asked you to step up and try to be the pastor of this church. God didn't call you to be the pastor. God didn't call you to preach. See, because calling is based on divine desire. In other words, I will preach. Calling is based on divine desire. I will teach. Calling is based on divine desire. I will serve. But calling is also based on divine obligation. I must preach. I must teach. I must serve. I must stand in the holies of holies and usher in men and serve God by serving others. It's God's call. It's not your call. It is God's call. And when you try to usurp the men and women who have been placed in certain positions, their authority, you're not taking God seriously. Read verse 3 for me.
Verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then ye lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?
See, what happens is that when people are jealous, Brother Davis, when they're jealous of the call that God has placed on your life, because you're working in divine desire, divine obligation, you're bearing fruit, you're working through your spiritual giftedness that God has given you, we find that they start taking up a complaint. They'll make an accusation against you. I think you're doing too much. God ain't only called you, he called me. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. Because what happens is that if it's God's call, then how are you going to tell one that he has called that he hasn't been called, or that he hasn't been called to that. Oh, somebody better help me up in here. Because see, this is why the church sometimes runs into a problem. This is why there is so much hell in churches, is simply because there's so much rebellion. These folk are rebellion, Sister Pillow. They are rebelling. And you got to call it what it is. And you know what? It says that if Brother Hayes read that right, Minister Brown, that he took about 250 folk with him. Because people will always follow charismatic figures. Wow. No matter what their calling is. They will follow the current. And it's always people who are influential and want to gain some more influence. But if they're influencers, that's leadership. You're already in a leadership role. You already head of greeters. You're already head of the parking lot. You're already a deacon. You're already a minister. But you ain't the pastor. Oh, look at me. Keep your eyes right here on me. Don't nobody go to camera black. I want your eyes. Because I want you to hear what I'm saying. One of and it's all based on jealousy. So what they do is that they bring up a false accusation, or they start teaching something other than what God has said. In other words, they deal with man's reasoning, Brother Davis, rather than God's revelation. I know what I'm talking about. There are a whole bunch of talented, gifted folk on this Zoom call. Whole bunch of folk could share in this family church school lesson much better than me. There's a whole bunch of folk that could be the Christian education director at Resurrection Baptist, more talented. Matter of fact, when I joined the CE ministry at Resurrection, all the folk in CE were educators. Sister Callis, I came from a business background. So it's very easy for those educators who have skills and giftedness. But when God calls you to something, you do it. And you do it based on the gifts that he has given you. And you don't compare and compete. When you're always finding folk who want to go up a little bit higher, That's self-generation. That's self-promotion. I was head of ushers. So, it's time for me now to become a deacon. And you know, when I become a deacon, it's time for me to become a minister. I think I'm gifted. I can pastor a church. It's time for me to get a congregation. So they get 250 together and they raise a whole bunch of hell, tear up the church, leave the church, and have failures after that. You know why? Because God hasn't called them to do that. Yeah. And it will always be a failure. If they go and multiply, it would be a failure because God didn't call you to that. This is the problem with Korah. Oh, and I'm talking about Korah today, and I tell you, I saw you Davies, and I saw you Michelle Callis. I saw you giving a wink. See, because I know y'all are studious, and y'all went and started looking at this guy Korah and his background, and you found out what his name means, and then you said, who's that? Is he talking about himself here? Yeah, Korah. It means the bald one. Means baldness. But I'm here to decree and declare today that we are totally opposites, because I understand calling. I
understand giftedness. If no one on this earth understands calling, I understand it. And so you can't let men, you can't let a congregation of folk who are trying to grab influence encourage you to do something and be something that God has not called you to be.
Amen.
Oh, this is so serious in the church. Because what will happen, we're going to see this fracture in the church because men and women, boys and girls, want to be something other than what they've been called to do. And because they are jealous and because of their desire to compare and compete, they will disrupt the church and therefore not take God seriously. But praise be to God. Minister Brown, just for a minute, hold on now, Mo. I want you to read, Minister Brown, I want you to read verse 4 for me.
And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
Folk, let me tell you one thing. When folk get to raising Cain in the church, first of all, don't you be a part of it.
All right.
And the next thing you do, you need to do exactly what Moses did. He fell on his face. Moses didn't say, well, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm Dr. Moses. And he started defending how good he was. And he didn't go into all of that. He prayed for them folk. And that's when folk come up, folk, you would not believe over the years. You got to realize, Pastor Brown been here 31 years. I've been here all those 31 that he's been here and some before. I've been at Resurrection. So, you know, I'm not just being introduced to church for the first time, because even in the last 31 years, we've had some of these same experiences where these fly-by-nighters come in. Folk who have not been called will probably never be called. I can't say because I don't know the mind of God. Mm-hmm. But what they try to do is they try to usurp God's authority by displacing those that God has placed here. Mm. When Deacon Newsom, and I use him because he's my friend, I can always use him. When Deacon Newsom was chairman of the deacons, I ain't heard nobody run around telling me he shouldn't be deacon. At least they kept it to themselves. Greatest deacon we ever had, the greatest deacon.
Amen.
We ain't talking about no chairman, no title. He's just a deacon. He's a minister. He's a server. Oh, well, you say, well, that's your friend. Hey, I call on another friend there, Mr. Wooten. Gifted man. There are a whole bunch of people, I don't like Clarence's demeanor, you know, and they're gifted. By profession, a nurse. By experience, one of the great financial advisors in the world. Gifted. And he was placed here to serve these people. Now, you know, you got these fly-by-nighters coming. Well, Mr. Wooden didn't do it. No. God put him here to help Resurrection at a time. God put Deacon Newsom here to help Resurrection at a time. God placed 27-year-old Pastor Brown at the Resurrection Baptist Church because it's what needed at the time. So it is God that does the calling. And any attempt to usurp the authority of those men and women, you're trying to usurp the authority of God. You're saying God didn't know what he was doing when he called Ray Brown as pastor, when you try to be the pastor. What you do is when people come against you, though, and against your calling, you pray for them. That's what Sister Harriet said. You pray for them.
Amen.
She just read that, verse 4. But Brother Mo, would you read verse 5 for me?
Verse 5, and he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him.
Verse 6.
This do, take you censors, Korah, and all his company.
Now, notice Moses hadn't tried to defend himself. Mm-hmm. Moses hadn't tried to defend Aaron. You know why? Because when you're called, you ain't got to defend yourself.
All right. All
you
right.
just do what the Lord said do.
All right.
And when people don't like the way you're doing stuff, there's a whole bunch of folk. They wouldn't bit more come to no Deacon Snead's family church school class, no Bibleship. They wouldn't sit under him in the world, and you know, and they wonder why you do it. Mm. But you know what? That ain't what I was sent here to do. I wasn't sent to the Resurrection Baptist Church. I wasn't sent to the Resurrection Baptist Church to please man, but to serve men and women in that ministry and to please God.
Amen.
It's a call. And so when other folks are talking about, well, you know, Deacon Snead, haven't you considered doing such and such? Have I considered what? God, because you don't understand, God called me to this. I wasn't even supposed to be here with you stiff-necked Baptists. We just don't get it. But we see Moses prayed for them, but then you got to speak to them. You got to put them in their place. And here's how he did it. He says, you know what? Tomorrow, Brother MacArthur, he said, tomorrow, God will reveal who's been called and who has not been called.
All right.
See, God will expose you. There's a lot of folk that want to take positions that they haven't been called to, and then God exposes them. Oh, in time, you ain't got to worry about it. Don't get in no arguments. Don't raise no cane, because God will expose them. Because if you are not called and you're not called by God, you'll be exposed. Don't tear up the church arguing about calling, who's in charge and who's not in charge, who's to do what and who's not to do what. Matter of fact, Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is the Lord. Avenge not yourselves, but rather place to wrath, as it is written, vengeance is mine. Don't try to do tit for tat. And because they've spoiled and sullied your name. See, I understand that. And I've understood it for a long time. This thing about call, I thoroughly understand it. I've been given all the lessons about call, and they didn't come from men. They came from the Word of God itself. And that's why you have to stay in the Word of God so that you don't miss call. But you don't want to miss your call either, because many folk have been called. Korah was called. Korah was called as a Levite to work in the temple. He was called to a special position, but it wasn't enough for him, because he looked at what someone else had or what someone else was, and he wanted it to be it. That's breaking the commandments right there, Mo. That's breaking the commandments right there.
Amen.
But you see, Moses confronts this rebellion. He confronts this not taking God seriously, by simply, first of all, praying to God, letting God show him what to say, and then getting up speaking what God has said. We don't hear the conversation between Moses and God. But when Moses gets up, Moses then presents to the people these influences, this band of 250 that want to split the church. He says, get all your religious gear together, show up tomorrow, light your censers, and tomorrow the Lord will show you who's been called, who's been set apart. Notice Moses wasn't arguing with them. Mm-hmm. He was just saying, okay, you've been called, I'm going to show you. Mm. And many pastors, I'll talk to them now. They need to display the same thing. You know you've been called? Why are you going to worry about men, influencers, men of nobility? You know, and I tell you, I like I told you, I've been here all those 31 years, Pastor Brown been here. And the thing that I marveled at in the early years, Pastor Brown was very inviting. He never was intimidated by folk because they had letters behind their names and all that kind. Because he knew one thing, he'd been called. It was a gift to preacher. And now the Lord had put him in this little flock in first UC, Texas, then Church, Texas, to lead them and bring them to the congregation that they are today. Despite the criticism, despite the contention, you need to do when you've been called what you've been called to do and leave it up to God to do the rest. Okay, verse 7 and 8 for me, Minister Brown.
And put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi.
What did he say, Minister Brown? Verse 9, what did he say?
Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi.
Okay, verse 9.
Verse 9, okay. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them.
The reason you don't take God serious, you don't take his call serious. Do you think it's just a small thing that God has called you to do what you're doing here at Resurrection? Do you think it's a small thing? Do you not take it serious? And the things that God has called you to do, and he has encouraged others to encourage you to do, you're not doing that. But you want to run the pastor. You want to rule the pastor. You want to be the pastor. You won't even do what God called you to do. But you'd rather do what he didn't call you to do. That's a problem. And God always deals with a problem. God is the best one to deal with a problem. So Moses prayed, and Moses gave them some revelation. Now, verse 10 says, and he had brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. Out of all that God has done for you, you now want to take over the church. You know, I remember when you were shucking and jiving, slipping and sliding, hiding, gliding. And now you want to take over the church. I don't get it. Hey, folk, I got to put this in the modern day context. Because this was for me and you. Do what God has called you to do. Because you can't do what God has called someone else to do. It's impossible. You can't do it. Verse 11, Mo.
Verse 11, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him?
So Moses says, I can almost understand you want to be the leader of the nation, but you want to take over the pastorate too? I understand you want to be the finance chairman. I understand you want to be the treasurer, but now you want to be the pastor? I understand you want to be the chairman of the deacon board. I understand you want to be a trustee ministry leader. I understand you want to be the magnification leader. I understand you want to be the maturity leader, but now you want to take over the pastorate? What is this that you do? Are you really taking God serious? God has given you this wonderful opportunity to serve in what I consider one of the greatest local assemblies, one of the greatest churches this side of the Mississippi. Oh, one of the greatest churches in America today. Yet you want something else. Brother Mo, folk that are intent on disobeying God and their call will always come back at you. Don't think they're going to quit.
Mama.
Because see, this is a demonic spirit, Mo. They will come back at you. And you know what they'll try to do? They'll try to remind you of what you were.
Amen.
Oh, somebody better help me.
Amen.
Somebody better help me today.
Mo,
read. Matter of fact, read 11 and 12.
11 and 12?
I'm sorry, 12 and 13.
Okay, 12 and 13. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?
Moses can't stop being the leader. And he can't stop, Sister Dorothy, doing what God has called him to do just simply because he's experienced some rebellion. But when you stand up to rebellious folk, they will always try to remind you of where you were.
Mama.
And they don't care about your authority. They're just like the guy, Monty, that stood up in a business meeting years ago, Brother Davis, and said, I don't care what the Bible says. Well, wait a minute. We're in church. There's a guy who's saying, I don't care what the Bible says. we ain't gonna do what the Bible says. We're going to do what I say. And that's what these two boys, Dathan and Abiram, said. You know what they said? God told you to come and get us? We ain't going nowhere. That's outlaw rebellion. That's just like the guy in the business meeting. I don't care what God said. We ain't going up.
Wow.
Jealousy. Meth is different than Korah. He organized a little band. But then these boys, Dathan and Abram, they were silent. They were out until they were approached. They just said, we ain't going to do it. Pastor Brown, you said what? We're going to go do what? We're going to have a Vision 2020? I ain't doing no Vision 20. We're going to have an RBC name? I ain't doing that. We're going to have Together We Build? Mr. Wu? Well, I ain't doing that. That's rebellion. What will we do? Well, here's what I think we should do. We should have chicken dinners. We should wash cars.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, folks, I know what I'm talking about, Deacon
Austin.
I've lived it. I had 31 years right here with Stiff-Necked Baptist. I know them. And whenever you call them out, you can expect resistance. Mm-hmm. And you know what they did? Verse 14, Mo, and then I'll wrap it up because we got to go, because we got a part two next week.
Yes, sir. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
You know what, Pastor Brown? You ain't doing what you supposed to. You're not all that you need to be. You haven't done this. You haven't had these accomplishments. You know, what are you trying to pull the wool over the eyes of these men?
Wow.
Ms. Brown, do you hear me? Mohaze, do you hear me?
I hear you.
Bogan, do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, Newsom, Dorothy, Ogletree, Hollis, MacArthur, Braswell, do y'all hear me? Folk, when they try to usurp the calling of God, they are usurping the authority of God, and they will always bring up your past. They will always say, you ain't met all the expectations. You ain't all of that. Mm-hmm. I can do this just as good as you. Why can't I? Why he always got to teach the class? Why is he always got to preach? Why she was called to preach? Why was she called to minister? Why would they do? La, 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 la. Because that's what it is. It's a lie to the pit of hell. They're trying to influence other folk now by disparaging Moses. Because that's what folk do when they can't get their way. They start talking about, you ain't met all of God's expectations. But Moses was not perfect. And no, Pastor Brown is not perfect. And no, Deacon Snead is not perfect. And no, Pastor Cobbs is not perfect. And no, Pastor Joe is not perfect. And no, Minister Brown is not perfect. And no, Maurice Hayes is not perfect. But guess what? This is what God has called them to do. And you're in this congregation, and you need to stop comparing and competing, being jealous, and just do what God has said for you to do.
All right now. All right.
We're one body. We got to act like that. And when we've got the hand saying we're not going to do what the heart says, we got trouble.
Amen.
When we got the heart that says, I ain't beat no more.
yeah.
Because I really want to be a hand. Heart hasn't been called to be a hand. Hand hasn't been called to be a heart. Oh, that old heart, it is something that I could do a lot better. If my heart would pump a little bit better, you know, my feet say, you know, hey, there, I wouldn't be so numb. I'd be a little bit more nimble if my heart would just act right. There's a problem. But Moses prayed. Moses reasoned with him. Moses responded to God by saying, go get them. I want to show them who's in charge. Next week, let's look at the consequences of that rebellion. The consequences of that rebellion. The consequences of men trying to usurp the authority of God. Mr. Bonds, Greg, Wooten, Amon, you guys have a great day.